Stained by sin, at a cross I stood, deserving of his judgment cry. As a perfect lamb, King Jesus came and laid upon my cross to die. With outstretched arms, his blood flowed down. His eyes of love invited me to enter.
Thank you. Let's stand briefly, if we could, for the scripture reading. Thank you for being here again this morning. Most of you, thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Of course, Resurrection Sunday. I'm going to read about these verses here. We're going to talk a little about the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll start in verse 12, we'll read down to verse 20, and then we'll pray, and I'll let you be seated. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 12, it says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith all is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that sleep." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for this morning, this time we can be together. I pray in these few minutes that we have as we look at the resurrection that you would make it very practical to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our theme for our church this year is Lift Him Up, speaking of Jesus Christ. Let me just say this. Let's just get this out of the way. The Jesus that's portrayed in the media and on television is not the Christ of the Bible. Okay, I'll just throw it out there. It's getting kind of popular nowadays to have all these Bible movies on television, on the History Channel, and at the movies. Let me explain how I feel about them. They're garbage. Jesus was not some skinny, effeminate guy in a white dress. By the way, tough guys followed him. Can I just tell you something? If some guy in a dress came and asked me to follow him, I'm not going to follow him. Jesus was all man, and he was God. And by the way, he knew who he was. You watch that nonsense on television, it's some effeminate guy. He doesn't know who he is. He's confused. Jesus was God in the flesh. He was not confused. He knew what he was doing. All right, they got that out of the way. And we worship a risen Savior. At this time of year, people think about God a little bit more. They think about church. There is more to the resurrection than just a one-day celebration each year. The resurrection, it's kind of a big deal. And it has power. As I mentioned earlier, be careful what the media says about Christianity in general. This time of year, they always have something that comes up. Many years ago, right before Easter, they found the lost gospel of Judas. By the way, when the Bible talks about Judas, it always mentions him as a traitor. But in the gospel of Judas, he's the hero. And Jesus is the confused one. I think I'll just go with what the Bible says. But they do that on purpose. And I don't want us to be confused. The reason we want to lift up Christ is because the best thing a person can do is come to know him and live for him. It's the greatest life you'll ever live. And that's why I have no trouble sharing that. One of the key foundational beliefs of Christianity is the resurrection. The resurrection is a life-changing doctrine. And it's a doctrine that really Christianity rises or falls on. It's pictured in baptism, and it offers a new way of living. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." Some skeptics say that to believe in Christ is nothing more than a blind leap of faith with little or no basis in truth. There's much that we could say about that. If we honestly sit down and confront the facts, however, the resurrection is an honest event that took place in history. Many things we could look at, and it's not the message this morning. I'll just throw some out there. Christ predicted his resurrection. Told his disciples, I'm going to be killed. In 3 days, I will rise. And he did. Jesus made numerous appearances to his followers after the resurrection. He comes and sees them. He saw his own. He saw the disciples on the road to Emmaus. At another time, the scriptures record that he was seen of over 500 people. And by the way, where scriptures were written at a time when many of those people would have still been alive. The resurrection is a fact. The growth of the church confirms the resurrection. The early church, they knew what was going on. If it was nothing but a fabricated lie, do you think thousands of people would have bought into it? No. The faith of the disciples alone lets you know the resurrection is true. You say, well, they were just strong men and they were what? No, they weren't. When Jesus was arrested, they all ran. They all hid. And yet a few days later, these same men who ran for fear for their lives were now out in the open preaching Christ, and they would all die a martyr's death. They would all be persecuted for something that they said they saw. Sometimes people are delusional, but listen, they all said they saw him alive after he was dead, and you could not stop them after that. The resurrection is a fact. And then lastly, another reason we know it's a fact, the many thousands, millions of lives that it has changed. The resurrection is a fact. And it is important to Christianity this morning. The resurrection is not true, then we are in a world of hurt. It is central to everything we believe. It's important to salvation. Romans 10:9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We have no option. If we're going to believe in the Jesus of the Bible, we have to believe that he died, he was buried, and he rose again. That makes, by the way, that's the difference between Christianity and all other religions. You could look at men throughout the ages who founded religions, and they all died, and they are still buried. Not Jesus. If you found where Jesus was buried, it's empty there today. But why is the resurrection so important? Let me give you several facts. We will not be long this morning. First of all, the resurrection is central. It's key to the gospel. The verses we read earlier, it says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And it mentions later, we are still in our sins. See, if we're going to understand God's plan for us to be able to go to heaven, that's what we call the gospel, then we need to understand the resurrection is a very important, vital part of that. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then he was nothing more than a delusional liar. See, sometimes people say about Jesus, they say, well, you know, I don't believe he's who he said he is, but he's a good man, or he's a good teacher. Can I just tell you something? We do not have that option to believe about Jesus Christ, because that's not who he said he was. So if we don't believe the Christ of the Bible, then we have to make a deduction here. Either Christ was crazy when he made those comments, either he was just a flat-out deceiver or a liar, or he is who he said he was, God in the flesh. Those are only options. Years ago, we helped start a church in Florida. We went out on a Saturday. We were making some visits, and a guy showed up at the church and said, you know, I want to go out with you guys. We had met him one other time. So he went out with somebody, and they were walking through this area, and there was some children playing. And he walked over to the children. He started patting them on the head. The guy went over there and listened to what he was doing. He was telling the children, be good someday, and I'll take you with me. And he asked the guy, he goes, what does that mean? He goes, I'm Jesus. Can I just tell you something? He was not Jesus. He was homeless. He had some issues. We look at a guy like that and say, he's crazy. Well, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, he's crazy too. Because he claimed that's what he was going to do. He said that was what he was going to do. He said that's who he was. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 4, the verses previous to what we read, it says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have received and wherein you stand, by which ye also are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for your sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. If we don't believe that, then we cannot believe the gospel. And the gospel simply means good news. Good news of what? Good news of how we can make it to heaven. So the gospel, the resurrection is central or key to the gospel. Secondly, the resurrection is central or key to preaching. Teaching of the Word of God. It says, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain. Vain means empty. There's nothing to it. In other words, if the foundation is a lie, everything that we could teach you, everything you could learn in church must be a lie too, because none of it is true. How many of you would meet somebody, whether a salesman or whatever, and they lie to you? Don't they lose credibility? Who was the newscaster that just did that? Brian Williams. Lied about, I was in a helicopter and I don't know the whole story. They tried to shoot us down and I think he said they may have been shot down, right? Or they were shooting at him. He was nowhere near there. Listen, I would have a hard time believing that guy. He's not going to be my investment advisor. Say, well, he's truthful some of the time. No, he's not going to get up and tell me anything. And listen, if the resurrection isn't true, anything we could get up and say behind this pulpit, anything all of our Sunday school teachers are telling to all the different Sunday school classes we have, it's empty. It's worthless. You see, because God uses the teaching of his word to change our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, of the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. See, God uses teaching of the Bible in our lives to help us to become what he wants us to be. Why? Because it's grounded in his truth. But if that truth is a lie, then we're wasting our time this morning. Next, I would say the resurrection is central to Christianity. He says, your faith is also vain. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. This whole thing is nothing more than a sham. You know, years ago, they used to believe that, the old fake days of all the fake medicines. You know, back in the Western times, they have these elixirs, and you just drink this, and it'll do everything. It'll kill cockroaches, ticks, fleas. It'll heal your heart. It does everything. And it was nothing more than a scam. They used to believe that one way you would heal somebody back when they were ill is they would do bloodletting. I think that helped kill George Washington. They believe if a person was sick, they had too much blood. And let their blood out. Now, if they understood what the Bible said, the life of the flesh is in the blood. We come to find out that's not true. Listen, if the resurrection isn't true, this is a sham. Everything we're doing this morning is worthless. The beautiful songs the girls sing and the truth in those songs is nothing. Christianity is junk if the resurrection is not true. Colossians 1:5 says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereby you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." You see, heaven is a future hope that we have. Now, what do we mean by hope? It's not the kind of, it's not the way we think of hope. We think of hope like, my boys, they like the basketball, and Josiah really likes Kentucky. And so it was kind of fun last night to watch that because no one else liked Kentucky, and we're glad they lost. But he had his hope that he'd tell me, I think they could beat an NBA team. So I told him after the game, I said, I think Wisconsin could beat an NBA team. What happened to your Kentucky? He had hope that they were this great team. No, they're not. Okay? That's not the kind of hope in heaven. I hope it's there. Let me cross my fingers. We're going to get there someday. No. Hope means a security in a future event that's going to happen. And we have hope because of Jesus Christ and Christianity. Listen, for myself, if Christianity is a fake, I've wasted 27 years here in this church. I should have been out doing something else, Brother Machado. I've wasted my time. And you're wasting your time, and you're wasting your time, and you're wasting your time. We're not, though. Because the resurrection is true, and Christianity is what it says it is. It's also central to the Bible. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. All of these disciples, all the writers of Scripture, and all the things they said, the Bible is not a book that can be trusted. By the way, let me say something to you. The Bible can be trusted. It is 100% true and accurate. Years ago, I used to work at a warehouse, and we could listen to something, and a guy who said he was a Christian, he goes, I want you to listen to this tape about the Bible. And he gave me the tape, and I'm listening to this tape, and this guy's like, the Bible is mostly accurate. It has some errors. And he gave some, it's 90-something percent accurate. As soon as I heard that, I turned it off. I'm like, no, it isn't. He's wrong. By the way, if it's not 100% accurate, what part is not accurate? I need to know. I don't want to just say, well, is that the right part? No, I want to know it's all. It is accurate. But if the resurrection isn't true, then it's not accurate. Let's throw it out and let's move on with our lives. The resurrection, number five, is central to right living. The Bible says you are yet in your sins. You see, sin is very addictive. By the way, when someone, we have addictions, we have an addiction program called RU here on Friday nights, and we understand people get caught up in things that are addictive. By the way, it's not an illness. It's sin. If it's an illness, we could give you a medicine and you'd be able to get off of it. No. It's a choice we made. An unfortunate choice caused us to get bound up by that sin. But I can tell you something. Because of the resurrection, we can have freedom from that sin. Those chains can be broken off because of Jesus Christ, because he is who he said he is. If not, if you're struggling with something today, there's something in your life, there's something you know is wrong, and it's hurtful to your life, and it's hurting your family, and it's hurting everything you're doing, and you're like, man, I want to get over it. Can I tell you something? If the resurrection isn't true, you're stuck. Willpower won't get it done. Maybe for a short time, but if you want deliverance and you want true freedom, that's only found in Jesus Christ. I can testify to that fact. Easter Sunday is important to me. When I was in high school, 19, long time ago, calm down. Thank you, Brother Panay. 1978. I was bad. Now, I'm not as bad as Robert, but I was bad. And I was a punky, typical high school, unsaved, party go, you name it. That's what we did. Someone invited me to go to church on Easter Sunday, 1978, Pastor Joe Esposito. He was not Pastor Joe Esposito then. And to come to think of it, a lot of the bad things I did, he taught me. He was my pastor two ways, to do right and to do wrong. And he says he was bad because his brother taught him to be bad. And his brother said he was bad because my older brother taught him to be bad. So they're blaming my badness on my brother. Figure that one out. But I was a punk, and I went to church on that Sunday, and I heard the gospel. And I had heard it before, and God was dealing with me. And on that Sunday, 1978, I was 2 years old, maybe, I met Jesus Christ. And that changed my eternal destiny. But can I just tell you something? That changed my entire destiny. It changed my life completely. I mean, here I started going to church. there were things I was caught up in and things I was doing. I finally said, you know, I'm tired of this life and I want to change what I'm doing. God changed me. By the way, there was times before that I tried small things. I tried to change my own. It was like, I couldn't do it. I'm like, oh, why try? But something happened when I met the resurrected Christ. Changed my life completely. By the way, it can change yours. Sometimes you look, oh, look at the guys at the church. They're choir boys. They must have been in the nursery. Man, I didn't even know what a nursery was. Okay? First time I went to church, they gave me candy. I was fifth grade, and I went for the candy. My buddies and I were looking to say, man, I wonder if we could break into that PA room, get that equipment. We didn't grow up in church. We were changed by the resurrected Christ. You have any struggles in your life this morning? I'll tell you what, Jesus Christ can change you. So there's just things I wish. My family's not going the way. My marriage is not what I want it to be. I wish we could get this thing together. Apart from Jesus Christ, it's going to be tough. But I'll tell you what, once he's on your side and his resurrected power is there, you can do it. Amen. The gospel, the resurrection is also central to having joy. He says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You know what he's saying? You have joy because of Jesus Christ, and if there wasn't a Jesus Christ and he didn't resurrect from the dead, then we're going to be nothing but miserable because we're living our life for a lie. But I can tell you this, if you know Jesus Christ, you can have joy. So I don't have joy in my life. I get up in the morning and I hate my job and I hate the fighting with the family and this and that, all the nonsense, and I struggle with things in my life and I just don't have joy. You can find joy in Jesus Christ. That's the first step. He wants us to have joy, but we need to find Jesus Christ. See, what happens is, we look for joy in all the wrong places. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you in John 15, 11, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Sometimes people, that almost sounds unspiritual. No, it isn't. If Jesus says you can have joy, I want it. If he says you can have this, I'm like, sign me up. Where are we at? In fact, give me twice as much. If he's offering it, I'm taking it. And he offers joy. We try to find it in our career. By the way, you ought to be a good worker where you work. Be the best you can. I get it. We just live in a society where people just don't know how to work. They're when's the next break? And I'm not against break. But you could climb the corporate ladder of success and get to the top and say, is that all there is? Well, I'll tell you what, if Jesus is with you, you can have joy all the time. You try to find it in a relationship. I'm glad I'm married. I love my wife. But my joy isn't wrapped up in my wife. Now, her joy's wrapped up in me, and I totally get that. That's why she doesn't smile much. Just kidding. My joy's got to be wrapped up in Jesus Christ. It's got to be wrapped up in Jesus Christ. By the way, he'll make me a better husband. Is he? No. Joy's not found in money. Now, again, is there anything wrong with God blessing you and working hard and making money? Absolutely. Look, if you got to work somewhere, I work at the church now. We don't give raises. But when I worked in the world, I figured if they're going to give raises at my job, why shouldn't I get them? I'll just work as hard as I can and hope that they give me the raise. I'll take it. But, you know, my joy wasn't found in that. You could have millions of dollars and be miserable. And you could have 10 bucks and be miserable. But you could have millions of dollars and be happy. And by the way, we need some people like that. We'll get that building done over there, okay? And you could have 20 bucks and be happy. Because happiness, joy is not based on our circumstances. It's based on our relationship with God. You know the biggest thing people are looking now, it's self. We're just so into ourself, aren't we? Selfies. Let me just explain something to you. I don't care what you ate for lunch. Okay? Here's me eating a hamburger. Here's me with Tabasco sauce on my shirt. Okay? I'd rather see your dog. But self. Joy comes from Jesus Christ. The last thing is this. The resurrection is central to heaven. He says, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. You know what he said? He goes, those people that fallen asleep, it's not like some of you are doing in church because you're tired. And if you fall asleep, that's my fault. I didn't keep you awake. Sorry. But hey, at least it was profitable at church. You got some rest. He's talking about those that died. He said, those that died that we thought were in heaven because of Jesus Christ, they're not. If there's no resurrection. But let me tell you something. There is a resurrection. And let me tell you this. There's a heaven. And let me tell you this. There's a way to get there. And let me tell you this. There's only one way to get there. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. The most important thing you need to know is, am I on my way to heaven? If I were to die, if something tragic were to happen, would I be in heaven? That weighed heavy on my mind. People would talk to me about it, and it bothered me, Brother Chim. And when I went into church on that Easter Sunday, I was already thinking about it. And I don't remember who preached. I think they had a guest preacher. It was at Gethsemane Baptist Church up in, it was Paramount that time. And he talked about, you know, when Peter and them were fishing and they had their net on the wrong side of the boat. I remember that. They didn't catch anything, and Jesus said, hey, put your net on the other side. And they listened to Jesus, and they put their net on the other side, and they caught a bunch of fish. And then he said, you know what's wrong when it comes to heaven? Some of you are casting your net on the wrong side. He said, you need to meet Jesus. At the end of that service, I went and talked to a man. I remember we went outside. It was kind of crowded. He talked to me about the gospel. I had already heard it before. I trusted Christ that day. Now listen, it's not about a feeling. You know, if you want a feeling, stick your hand in water and put your hand in a light socket. You'll get a feeling. But when I went home and I knew that my sin was forgiven, man, I felt pretty good. I felt really good. What about you this morning? So, man, I've been coming to church here, but do you know Jesus Christ? By the way, church won't get you to heaven. Our church won't get you to heaven. Ain't any church that's going to get you to heaven. You can join our church 1,000 times. I'll pay for your building to get done. That'll get me to heaven. No, it won't. That's right. Give us some money anyhow, but no, it won't. Keep your money. That's not taking you to heaven. No. I'll give it to the poor. That won't take you to heaven. No. Not that any of those things are bad. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Yeah. You see, you do understand why Jesus died. Jesus came down, he was God on this earth, and he lived a perfect life, and he never sinned one time. We are all under the condemnation of sin. Because we are sinners, we all deserve to die, and there's two deaths we have to die. The first death is our physical body, the second death is eternal, that's hell. So, oh, people don't like talking about hell. But it's in the Bible and it's true. By the way, Jesus doesn't want you to go to hell, and he doesn't like hell either. And so Jesus lived a perfect life, and when he died on the cross, it wasn't because he couldn't get away. He said, look, I could have called legions of angels, and I could have got out. He willingly went to the cross not to die for his sin. He had no sin, but he took yours and my sin on that Christ, and he died for our sin to pay our debt so we'd go to heaven. But we have to accept it. And see, if he would have just said, I'm dying for your sin, and stayed in the grave, that wouldn't have proved anything. He had to resurrect back to prove he was who he said he was. And he did. And if we trust in what he did on the cross, his death for our sin, he'll pay for it so that we don't have to. He's already paid for it, and he offers it as a gift. But we don't want to miss that. The resurrection's a big deal. It's a big deal. Maybe you are a Christian and you're missing out on the resurrection in your life. You're missing out on the power to have the changed life. You're missing out on the power to have the joy of God flowing through your soul each and every day. But maybe you don't know Jesus today. I encourage you to trust our resurrected Savior. Let's all stand together. Thank you for listening.